Hello and welcome back to the BTL with Reb T, Better Through Letter, the show where we talk how to make ourselves better through the Ramban's letter. We talked about the introduction, we talked about the letter itself, and lesson 1, 2, and 3. Now we're up to lesson 4, looking at the phrase, Kol ha-kohes kol mine gehenim shalten bo, whoever flares up in anger is subject to the discipline of gehenim. Again, we're using a letter for the ages with Rav Avram Chaya Feuer's explanation, commentary, and insights. Again, we're not going to read every single thing from every single chapter, but we're going to try to do our best to highlight different things and put extra comments and the like from whatever we can discern. So let's see what it says regarding the idea of whoever flares up in anger is subject to the discipline of Gehenna. Rabbeinu Nissim, in his commentary to Nedarim 22a, interprets the statement as a promise of retribution to the person who surrenders to rage. Rage is when anger takes hold and just makes you into an all-out beast, an all-out person who the anger just totally consumes and makes you into more animalistic and literally takes away your ability to control yourself. Anger is dangerous not only in and of itself, but also because of what it can lead to. Loosening self-control can be a first step toward abandoning restraint altogether. Once the bonds are severed, the bonds of belief in God also can fall as well, God forbid. Rav Yerucham Levavitz understands that through anger, the pain of Gehenna becomes real even in this world. When David HaMelech explains in Psalms, "You have raised me up from my soul from the lower world," written while David was yet alive, meaning that the burning of emotions of anger, depression, and frustration are their own emotional abyss, pointed out by the Das Chachma Musar. And Beis Avram observes that the greatest danger of a hostile disposition is that it prevents others from offering constructive criticism. Person's peers will not point out his faults if they fear a tirade in response. Without criticism to aid him, the easily angered person is more liable to fail in developing other aspects of his character as well. If a person can't tell you what's wrong, a person can't point out your faults, a person can't point out things you've done wrong, can't give you constructive criticism, how are you ever supposed to learn? How are you ever supposed to get better? How are you ever supposed to make your midos and your traits and work on yourself if you can't let anyone in? You're not going to be able to fine-tune yourself, which is one of the main points of living in this world. Sefer Haredim points out that a delicate soul, which comes from the Almighty, cannot tolerate anger. When a man succumbs to uncontrollable rage, his soul, in a sense, departs, leaving behind a deathly vacuum. God forbid, one who surrenders to anger thus commits a form of spiritual suicide. Think about it this way. If somebody lost a beautiful flower, it would be madness for him to react by breaking a precious object worth thousands of times more than the small flower. Similarly, the person who loses his temper shatters his peace of mind, a commodity far more precious than the relatively trivial loss which triggered his wrath. And Rav Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar, pointed out that nobody himself knew of when he ever felt angry. However, when a person gets angry, it is as if he were worshiping idols and is subject to divine retribution. Because when a person is angry, a person loses control, a person thinks that he's self-important, a person thinks that he is the only one that matters, and why didn't you satisfy my need and satisfy this and satisfy that? And he just becomes angry, he becomes entitled, he feels like everything comes to him without working at it, everything is owed to him. A person like that, when he gets angry, you can't get him to calm down, and he's only self-satisfying, he's only taking care of himself. He's very selfish and self-oriented. A philosopher once commented, "Most men endure lives of quiet frustration. Many people who display outward composure are consumed by inner turmoil. Their hearts overflow with bitter disappointments. With each new experience of life setbacks, they become more deeply angered." But the Talmud in Erechin point out an antidote to these feelings. No man is free of sin. Although God has no mercy on those who are thoroughly evil, he acts with compassion toward the bulk of mankind. Instead of overwhelming transgressors with devastating blows, God allows them to experience the consequences of sin gradually and over time. The Talmud cites numerous examples of minor discomforts which may serve as divine retribution. They include, for example, 1, commissioning a tailor to sew a suit. and disliking it. Number two, asking for a hot drink, being served a cold one. This happens all the time to my wife and I, especially places that we go to for different drinks. We ask for like an iced latte, we get a hot latte. We ask for a hot latte, we get an iced latte. Not that I drink coffee, but my wife does. And I ask for a hot chocolate, they give an iced chocolate, whatever. We get for one thing and it gets the other one. And then also reaching into one's pocket to take out three coins, but coming up with two. These are all little forms of something called yisurin. Little things that could be considered as tribulations and punishment and different annoyances that Hashem could send to us. But we should be zochah to only have such annoyances and never ever be tested with greater things or more difficult things or more terrible things. We should all only be zochah to have things like this, and we should never have any difficulties. But if we have to have difficulties, it should be in tiny ways like this. The Talmud concludes, if a person goes 40 days... if he goes through 40 days without experiencing any pain or slight discomfort, he should be concerned, lest he receive all of his reward and pleasure in this world and suffering awaits him in the future. Even these apparently trivial discomforts are meaningful. They are indeed God's bittersweet gifts. And the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah points out that a person can develop a positive attitude toward the losses which occur in the course of normal life. Always be willing to forgive the mishaps which occur in your home. When someone breaks a bottle of expensive wine, if you react with compassion, Hashem himself will repay your loss. Think about the idea in Pirkei Avos. Think about the idea how Yafet Sha'a achas b'tshuva o'masim tovim ba'olam hazeh mikol chayei ha'olam haba. It's better to be in this world for 1 hour working on tshuva, on repentance and good deeds, than all the time in the world to come. Because this world is a world, it's a transient world of 120 years, God willing, but it's a temporal world, it's a transient world. We're not here, this is not our final resting place, this is not our final walking place. So a person walks the earth only set amount of time, 120 years, but this is the world of action. This is the world to get things done. This is the world to accumulate the diamonds, which we always talk about as the mitzvahs. Every diamond you get is precious, is a mitzvah that advocates for you on your behalf in Olam Haba, God willing. This is the world where you're supposed to do. This is the world where you're not supposed to rest too much. Of course, there should be a balance, and you should be able to set time for yourself and for your family, and yada yada, especially spouse and kids, especially after a long day. But this is the world to take action. This is the world to do. That's why 1 hour in this world is better than all the world to come in terms of action and doing. And it's 1 hour of spiritual bliss is better than all the hours of all the bliss in this world, because the world to come is the world of receiving reward, is the world of spiritual pleasure. It's the world of actual bliss. That's the world of receiving. This is the world of giving and doing. And the next world is the world of receiving. So here, even if minor trivialities happen to you, if Hashem tests you, and Hashem tests us every day, life is a test, as the famous book title goes. Hashem sends everything to us for a test, from the huge things of losing people and sickness and poverty, and we should never know from any of those things, but those are huge tests, to the tiny tests of getting the wrong amount of change or getting the wrong address or losing this or missing this. All these things are Hashem's way of testing us. Hashem sending us Yisurim, Hashem sending us things that take us to make action and to do action and to do things, because in this world, we are supposed to work on ourselves. We're born to toil in this world, and a lot of us have to correct ourselves with major flaws that we might have in ourselves. If a person's easy to anger, a person is too tempted by that cheeseburger, or whatever is that person's struggle. Everyone has their own struggles, and everyone has to work on whatever is sent to them. And a lot of people might be gegolim, that they have to rectify some former thing that might have went wrong in a previous lifetime. Could be also. And that's why this world is the world to toil, and the world to come is the world where we receive the pleasure, we receive the bliss. So work now, play hard now, take care of all that you could grasp now, because the world to come, you can't do that. So anything that's sent to us, don't put yourself in a spiritual abyss. Don't make yourself more angered and more angered and putting yourself in your own private abyss, because you can control your reaction to things. And you can control how you look at things. So what if they did things X, Y, and Z? So what if you haven't seen them in 25 years? So what if you haven't seen them in weeks and weeks, weeks, months and months? All this corona business, a lot of us can't see each other. But that's one of the tests that we have to go about. Use the technology, use the Google Meet, use the Zoom. And we have to go about whatever we can, however we're tested, whatever Hashem sends to us. But don't let it make you angry. Don't let it consume you. Don't let it take you down. Because your reaction is greater than whatever stimulus was given to you. Whatever is the stimulus.
whatever made you angry, your response is what you could control. You can control how you perceive things. You can control how you react to things. There's the stimulus, but the response is much more important. So make sure not to put yourself in your own abyss and enjoy life as it comes every day, every time. Whenever Hashem sends anything to you, stand up and fight back as much as you can. Join us next time as we continue talking the BTL here with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.